Deva Sudeva Ya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Na Niskriter Uditer Brahma Vadipis Kata Vishuddhyatyakarman Vratadibhi Yata Harer Nama Harer Udahritais Tad Uttamashloka Guno Palambakam Naniskriter Uditer Brahma Vadipis Tata Vishuddhyat Yagavan Vratadipi Yata Harir Nama Pader Udharitas Good point, good point. And then what are you going to do when I stop doing the verse and I can't do stuff? Yeah. A little bit louder in the back. Naniskrite rudite brahma vadibis Tathabi shudyat yagavan vratadibihi Yata hare nama paderu dahritais Tadutama shloka guna guno palambakam by the process of atonement, uditaihi, prescribed, brahmavadibhi, by learned scholars, such as Manu, tata, to that extent, vishuddhyati, becomes purified, Aghavan.
Aghavan.
A sinful man.
Vrata
adibihi.
By
observing the vows.
And
regulative principles.
Tata.
As.
Hare.
Of Lord Hari.
Nama
padaihi.
By
the syllables.
Of
the holy name.
Udaharitai.
Chanted.
Tat.
That.
Uttama
shloka. Of the Supreme
Personality
of Godhead.
Guna.
Of the transcendental qualities. Upalambakam. Reminding one. Translation. The chanting of the holy name of Lord Vishnu is the best process of atonement for a thief of gold or other valuables, for a drunkard, for one who betrays a friend or relative, for one who kills a Brahmin, for one who indulges in sex with the wife of his guru or another superior. It is also the best method of atonement for one who murders women, the king or his father, for one who slaughters cows, and for all other sinful men. Simply by chanting the holy name of Lord Vishnu, such sinful persons may attract the attention of the Supreme Lord, who therefore considers, quote, because this man has chanted my holy name, my duty is to give him protection, end quote. By following the Vedic ritualistic ceremonies or undergoing atonement, sinful men do not become as purified as by chanting once the holy name of Lord Hari. Although ritualistic atonement may free one from sinful reactions, does not awaken devotional service. Unlike the chanting of the Lord's names, which reminds one of the Lord's fame, quality, attributes, pastimes, and paraphernalia. Purport. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur comments that the chanting of the holy name of the Lord has special significance that distinguishes it from the Vedic ritualistic ceremonies of atonement for severe, more severe, or most severe sinful actions. There are 20 types of religious scriptures called Dharma Shastras, beginning with the Manu Samhita and Parasara Samhita. But herein it is stressed that although one may become freed from the reactions of the most sinful activities by following the religious principles of these scriptures, this cannot promote a sinful man to the stage of loving service to the Lord. On the other hand, chanting the holy name of the Lord even once not only frees one immediately from the reactions of the greatest sins, but also raises one to the platform of rendering loving service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is described as Uttama Shloka because he is famous for his glorious activities. Thus one serves the Lord by remembering his form, his attributes, and his pastimes. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains that this is all possible simply by chanting the Lord's holy name because of the Lord's omnipotence. What cannot be achieved through the performance of Vedic rituals can be easily achieved through the chanting of the Lord's holy name. To chant the holy name and dance in ecstasy is so easy and sublime that one can achieve all the benefits of spiritual life simply by following this process. Therefore, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu declares, Param Vijayate Sri Krishna Sankirtana. How glorious to Sri Krishna Sankirtana. The Sankirtana movement we have started offers the best process for becoming purified of all sinful reactions and coming immediately to the platform of spiritual life. So, here the Vishnu Dutas now are coming to conclusion of their statements, right? Because they asked the Yamadutas to first give some description of what is Dharma. And they did a very nice job, you know, as far as the material world goes. What they missed out on is they had no idea the power of devotional service, the power of the holy name. This is the one thing that the Yamadutas didn't know. Because we see when there are discussions, they know that the Supreme Lord, the Personality of Godhead, that He is the creator, maintainer, and destroyer of everything, that through His grace, that Yamaraj
speaking to Paramount within the heart, can understand what decisions to be made on what living entities. Because Yamaraj will have a certain amount of information at hand. But there's more. Right? It means the witnesses that are there, the sun, the moon, the day, the night, the wind, the air, the earth, these will tell what you've done. But what you're thinking, that it won't be known. But Paramatma knows that. So there's more to consider. So then Yamaraj in conjunction with, discussion with the Super Soul, then comes to a proper decision on what is the particular position that the living entity will now be in due to his past karma. Right? And then if you follow the scripture, living a life in goodness, you will be elevated. If you live in passion and ignorance, you'll be degraded. And even though you're living in goodness, that goodness still has a mix of passion and ignorance because it's not pure. Therefore, everyone will do something in passion and ignorance. Therefore, everyone is punishable. So on the material platform, they've given a very, very exact definition. So we're talking about people here that aren't God conscious, but know all about God and how He runs everything. Does that make sense? That's the beauty of the Vedic civilization, is that everybody knows about the Supreme, even though they may not be devoted towards Him, but they at least know the facts of how everything functions. But having said all that, then the Vishnudutas bring up the point is, well, actually, you don't know what you're talking about. Why not? Because if it's about the Supreme Lord and His control, what about the element of connecting yourself with Him, the relationship with Him? Because the Yamadutas were looking at it, it's just about being pious, being good, being nice, doing good things. But then, you know, punishment is less minimal, like this. But what they were missing out on was that the Supreme Lord is, it's about the relationship between the living entity and the Supreme Lord. That was missed. So because of that, then the Vishnudutas are saying you don't actually understand. And then their final point is that they made is that Ajamil, he's done all this sinful, he was a very pious Brahmin. He gave all that up, became sinful. And he did no atonement, right? Because there's specific things in the Vedas that describe what one should do before the time of death, right? Very, you know, particular ritualistic karmakanda activities. And then that promotes you to a better position. And their point is he did none of those. So he is not purified. So now this is where the Vishnudutas now really understand they don't understand the process. So then they point out is that, no, it's by chanting the holy name of the Lord. You chant the holy name of the Lord, that purifies you of everything. Right? And they pointed out, he's chanted offenselessly. Why? He's chanting the name of his son, but he has no motive for that other than just chanting the name of his son. Right? So this is offenseless chanting. Right? We always have to remember in here, is we have to take the direction from the scriptures and from the devotees, the acharyas. Otherwise, of course, we'll have this very, very, hellfire and brimstone understanding of how, what is pure chanting. Like that. Because unless we're chanting, you know, when we're there in our eternal surup, then it can't be pure. And so it's all bad. But here, it's just, he wasn't chanting to get rid of the effect of his sinful activities. Right? And being a Brahmin and being trained the way he was, he would know the verses that mention these things. So he wasn't trying that. He was just calling out his name. Because we have to remember here, is one could say, no, but how is that possible? He was just calling his son. But we have to remember here is that we are not the controllers. This is the ultimate point. Hellfire and brimstone comes about because we think I am the controller. I'm doing this. This is right. Anybody does anything different than what I'm doing, then it's wrong. Because it's all about me. I'm the doer. And since I'm the doer, you know, I'm the good doer, and everybody else is the bad doer, so they get the bad reactions and I get all the good stuff. So you have to remember, this is not actually how it works. is that the name of the Lord is the name of the Lord, whether we know it or not. Pure chanting has zero to do with our understanding that it's God. You've chanted the Lord's name without any other motive. It's pure. Now, as we see here, it won't give you prema, but it will free you from all sins that has ever been committed. One name. Right? None of this, no, only if it's pure, Lord, then it'll... No, it's just one name. This is God's name, not our name. We're not in control of the name. We just chant the name, it works. Why? Because it's Krishna. Right? Let's give an example. Let us say, does the child have a full understanding of fire? Right? They understand the chemical process, the whole different thing, what's going on there. Blue flame means this, yellow flame means that, red flame means this. They understand all that? No. If they stick their finger in the fire, what happens? They get burned. Okay. What about electricity? Does the kid understand, okay, this is alternating current, you know, at 220 and it has 60 megahertz and this and that, blah, but it's India, so naturally it's not working that well. But now when they stick their finger in the socket, what happens? They get shocked. So therefore, when you chant the holy name, whether you understand what is going on or not, you get benefit. That's just the way it is. It has nothing to do with us. It's the God's name. Now, if you want prema, now we're starting to deal with, okay, now it has something to do with you. Not because you control the name, you make the name powerful. No, it's because then you recognize this name. Right? You recognize what is fire, you appreciate, then you can do things with the fire, you can do things with the electricity. But it's not about you, it's about the electricity can do that anyway, whether you understand it or not. It'll make refrigerators work whether you understand that or not. Now you get the benefit when you understand it. So this is what the Vishnu Dutas are pointing out. This is what blows the mind of anybody who's religious. They just can't conceive of this. Because it's always a ritual. I did this, I get the result. I'm a good boy, I get good results. He's a bad boy, he'll get bad results. Right? It's never, I'm the bad boy, I get bad results. Right? Does that make sense? So this is how it works. So they're pointing out that this is the real religious principle. This will just free you from all sin. So becoming freed from sin is not the big deal. It's important. The Nai Prabhupada gives the example of the wedding party. And the boat, right? They all went to the wedding. They come back from the wedding, go down to the boat. They all get in the boat. And then the boatmen start rowing. This is, you know, late at night. The wedding party goes to sleep. And in the morning, the men are rowing. And the wedding party looks out. And they're still in the same place. And they ask the boatman, what's going on? You guys slept all night? He says, no, we've been rowing all night. Then why aren't we getting anywhere? And then they checked and found out the anchor was still down. Right? So that's the point is that we won't progress in love of God if we have all these different things in our mind. But becoming free from sin, that's a given. The only reason we'll object to that is because the idea of karma and jnana is very valuable to us. Like here, karma is very valuable to the Yamadutas, so therefore they're objecting. Right? Well, it's a Gopal Chapala. He was an impersonalist, so jnana is important to him. He was objecting. But the point is for devotees, chanting frees you from everything. Now, what you're going to do in that position now is up to you. Now, is it about Krishna? Are we trying to move forward in Krishna consciousness? That's then where we're going to get the most benefit. Because becoming free from sins in the material world is not the big deal. You're dealing in a dream anyway. So if the dream goes away, is that a big deal? Okay, now you're awake. Now what will you do? Does that make sense? In a dream, you did all kinds of nasty stuff. Right? So, now when you wake up, now what are you going to do? You're going to act according to the dream, or are you going to act according to reality? So that's the thing. Chanting the holy name gets rid of the dream, but now that chanting, what are you going to do with it? Are you going to do it to please Krishna, chant to please Krishna? That gives you prema. So the Vishnu is pointing out there is no other purification. You can do all these other purifications. But in reality, it may free you from sin if it's according to Shastra. You just make it up. You know, oh, this guy should do this. Or this guy, but where's the Shastra basis? What it'll do? That's what Prabhupada mentioned. You have Manu Samhita, Parasara Samhita. These give the rules for Prayaschitta. If you follow those, you'll be freed from sin. But it won't give you love of Krishna. But it'll only free you from the sin of that particular activity. But chanting the holy name will free you from the sins for unlimited activities, unlimited lifetimes. And what they mention here, Toman, a thief of gold or other valuables, a drunkard, one who betrays a friend or relatives, one who kills a Brahmin, or one who indulges in sex with the wife of his guru or superior. These are the five biggest sins you can commit. Note the one here. Betrays a friend or relative. That's considered one of the most sinful things you can do. It's like killing a Brahmin. Then the equivalent ones, slaughter of cow, killing women, king, father, like that. Then those are also in that category. These are the, why do they mention these? Because if they mention, you know, how you say, you know, he was sucking on a lollipop and he put it down on the table and didn't wipe the table. You know, he doesn't mention stuff like that. They're saying the most sinful, you can't get heavier than these. Right? And the holy name will clear all that. So by saying that, it clears everything. You don't have to get into the other 5 million different little sins, you know, like digging up plants for no particular reason, or, you know, stuff like that. You don't have to mention those. Okay. So here then the Vishnu Dutas are pointing out that this is real atonement, so therefore Ajamil is atoned. Therefore he doesn't have the sins that require the Yamadutas to take him to Yamaraj for judgment. Because he's been purified. Because that was their point. He's sinful. He did no atonement. But they're pointing out, no, he's done the highest atonement. Not only did he atone for this life, he's atoned for millions of other lifetimes. So that's their point. So this is the topmost. Any questions or comments? Yes. No, that's the North European kind of one.
I'm wondering what exactly do you do in the ceremonies of atonement that you're talking about this area of chakra
ceremony? Well, they distinguish between if one's a Brahmin Kshatriya Vaishya Shudra, because dependingly the mentality that you have, how you're going to get yourself through that. Because the Brahmin can work on knowledge, that this is the knowledge, that's what it's supposed to be, this is the rules, and so they'll accept it. Kshatriyas will do the same as long as they see the practicality, but they have a tendency to not forgive. Brahmins forgive, Kshatriyas tend to not forgive. Vaishyas then will look for the prophet, and they tend to not forgive, because then if they forgive, then there may be a loss of profit. Like that. Shudras, it's more about the mood and the feelings and all that. So then if it's some, depending upon what it is, if it's something that deals with very heavy emotions and all that, then it'll be, the purification for a Shudra will be greater than that for a Brahmin. Because a Brahmin can understand, okay, intellectually this is the way it's supposed to be, they'll give it up. So depending upon that, depending upon the severity, naturally, the greater means these ones here, then at the greatest, generally 12 years is a full atonement. 12 years. 12 years of that, whatever it is, whatever is recommended. Like, let's say one of the atonements given for a Brahmin is you walk the full course of the Ganges. But, you, like, let's say we're here in Mayapur. So you start walking here on this side of the Ganga. You'll walk down to the Sagar, cross the river, walk all the way up to Gomukh, then cross, and then walk all the way back down to here. So, yeah, that takes about 12 years. Yeah. You know, or they'll sit outside the village and just, you know, sit under a tree and live there and not contact anybody or deal with anybody. So generally during the period of atonement, nobody deals with them because they're socially not proper. Well, if you means for the Brahmins, they can figure it out from Shastra because they studied that. But generally you take advice from others. So generally the Brahmins will give the direction according to what's there. Or the king, along with Brahmins, will give if it's in a court. If it's just, you know, personal, then you go like that. Also by explaining what happened in front of a group of the kings, the Brahmins, the Vaishnavas, during a great ceremony or something at the close of that, and explains what he's done wrong, what's purified of that. And then one takes your avavrita snan, you know, snan, the bath with all your clothes on, with everybody in the ceremony afterwards, you're purified. But then, it's Manu mentions after a whole chapter of just this, that the most powerful atonement is just studying scripture, chanting the holy name. But, because the general public doesn't appreciate that, like the Yamadutas, therefore, then these other things are recommended, right, for the general. But if in the circle of Vaishnavas, then one comes up with more devotional. Yeah. So it's a whole, out of 12 chapters, it's one full chapter. You know, so it's a lot of stuff. I had heard that Narad Muni had come and advised him to name his son Narayan. Yeah, I had heard. I'm not sure because it hasn't mentioned it so far. But even if you do, that's the whole point. Even if he forgets it's the name of Narayan, it still has effect. But as we see, because he's, you know, we have to remember, Ajamil is sitting here and has the Yamadutas on one side, the Vishnudutas, so he's hearing this whole conversation. So he definitely is going to become a little more serious after this. So now, because he, as the Yamadutas pointed out, he was a very properly practicing, well-situated Brahmin. He knew the Shastras, he was respectful, he dealt with everybody properly. Right? He did everything very, very nicely. But because of bad association, because he's only situated in goodness, then by, if you add goodness already has some passion ignorance, you add some more passion ignorance, it can overweigh the balance. That's why technically Prabhupada points out only devotees can actually get over the beyond the sin of this world because they're dealing in pure goodness, so there isn't passion ignorance. So when one comes to the point where whatever situation is there, even if it has opportunity for sense gratification, your interest is not in sense gratification. Then at that point, you know, it's just like, let's say, it's a fast day. You can walk into a room full of prasad and it doesn't bother you. Because even though it's opportunity for sense gratification, because you're thinking about Krishna's festival and all that, then it doesn't bother you. Right? So that's the point. One can become like that in everything. So the idea is the festivals and these special situations then develop an interest. You know, it's like, you're fasting, you know, all day, so then fasting half a day, or, you know, something went wrong, you missed breakfast, you know you won't die, You know, but before these things, you think that's the end of the world, right? Breakfast was late, the end of the world, right? So like that, the festivals, the association, the class, you hear more, you do things, you know, we have these, what do you call it, I never remember the name of it. You know, everyone gets together and chants for a couple of days. Huh? Nam Melas, like that, yeah. Nam Kirtan Melas. So those then people get into chanting, to spend more time chanting, try to absorb themselves. So even though every day they're chanting, they may not pay attention, but on this day they'll really try. And because of that, then on the daily, there's more of a chance. So all these festivals, they're called utsava. They lift one up. Ut means to arise, and sava means the pains of the world. They raise you above just the day-to-day ordinary things. And then from that, then you slowly start to apply them on a regular basis, to the point where at all times, all places, all circumstances, you can see Krishna. And so then they don't become disturbed, because it's an opportunity for sense gratification. It's not something you do. Just like, let's say, an adult walks by a mud puddle. Now, if you are 5 years old, now that is a great opportunity. You know, get out a stick, start poking, you know, get it all over yourself. You know, it's great fun. But an adult may see the puddle, but just keeps walking. Right? Because it's not something important. So, like that, all whatever's from our conditioning, our opportunities for sense gratification, with time, they won't be seen that way. You know? Yes, that's what the song is for. Yeah, yeah. So that's. But by the process, it comes, by Krishna's mercy. Okay. Something else? What determines someone's new actions if he's been freed from sins from previous lives? Association. Because depending upon what is your piety or sin, that will put you in a situation. Your birth will put you in a situation. Right? In other words, let's say you're born in a practicing devotee family, you know, who are pujaris. That's one association. What happens if your parents or your family owns McDonald's? Wimpy's? you never know which one works. Okay. Or a fish and chip shop, you know. Okay, got the point. Yeah. Okay. So it's association. That's on the material platform. I mean, any platform. Association. Ultimately, it comes down to the most important thing is association. Now, why? Because in association, you're going to hear and chant about the glories of the Lord. So that's why. So our most important process is chanting Hare Krishna. But the most important element that we do that is association. You associate with those that chanting is important, you do it. You associate with those that's not important, you don't do it. You know what I'm saying? Someone has difficulty. Then he gets out his beads, starts chanting. Right? Another one has problem, has difficulty. They don't get out their beads. They just sit there and lament. So, depending on who you associate with, that's what you're going to start doing. Does that make sense? Yeah. Okay. Yes. She went right to Goloka Vrindavan.
Yeah, she got the position of
Bharat Maharaj. What was he thinking of? Dear. Now, you may be thinking of a deer on the platform that the soul is in the body of the deer. Right? And so, it's not that the soul requires the importance of all the deer, you know, activities. But because the soul identifies that way, then out of compassion, Bharat Maharaj is dealing with it. So, he's working on the Uttama platform and seeing things on that transcendental platform. But what's the point of dealing with the deer on that platform? You understand? Where's the connection to the Lord? You understand? So he's working on the Uttama platform, but he's still not connecting the Uttama platform to the Lord. That's why we always point out it's about this. Every couple of sentences, you always have the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Because that's the point. Because being on the transcendental platform, free from the material world, but not having prema, that's, you could say, pretty textbook for the Tathasta Shakti. Does that make sense? Textbook. Okay. That's an Americanism for, it's very, very standard. It's so standard, it's written in all the textbooks that all the kids read in school. Okay? So, that the living entitasta means not spiritual, not material. Spiritual here meaning devotional. Okay, spiritual but not devotional. Okay? The nature is devotional, but the situation is spiritual. But the living entity, unfortunately, if you don't take up devotional, then it'll go the other way because the soul has to be active. So you're either active in devotional service or you're active in material life. Because on this being just spiritual in Brahman, there is no activity. Does that make sense? To be a soul, you don't have to do anything. Does that make sense? Like that. But now if you want to go back to Godhead, you have to do something devotional. If you don't do something devotional, it will be material. Does that make sense? That's the whole, there isn't a whole class of spiritual activities that's not devotional and not material. It's just a position of existence. Does that make sense? Yeah, okay? So, therefore, that's why it took him a few lifetimes. Okay? Who was the other one? No, that's your last, that's your doubt. And you're using these other two to give, to nourish the doubt. And who is the third one? Ajamil. Yes, but Ajamil, here, he chanted the holy name, but it wasn't about in love of God. Now, from chanting, now he remembers the Lord, right? And is taking shelter. But at the same time, he's only taking shelter out of fear. So it has its effect, you know, that because he took shelter of the Lord, therefore the opportunity to do devotional service comes up. But it doesn't give him prema because it wasn't to please Krishna. Does that make sense? So then he takes care of it in two lifetimes. Okay? Now Putana, now she's doing activities of devotional service. Her mentality is not good, but she's doing devotional activity. Right? And then from doing that activity, she's purified by the touch of the Lord. Therefore, then if someone's pure and they have rendered this service to Krishna, then you put those two together, what do you get? Yeah. Does that make sense? Yeah. Because having touched Krishna, she's no longer impure. Right? And having offered her breast milk to Krishna puts her in the position of a mother. So naturally then she goes back to God. I wouldn't recommend that as a process. Right? Because we only hear of that one demon like that. So it is devotional service. So all these are devotional service, all three examples, on various levels. Ajamil is the lowest level. Right? Like that. Bharat Maharaj is higher than that. He's actually understanding the Brahman. He's in his advancement. But he's only looking at the Brahman platform, in this case, of the deer. But Ajamil is then remembering that it connects to the Lord as a person. So therefore, even though his realization or his position of practice is lower than Bharat Maharaj, his actual connection to the Lord at that moment of death was higher. Does that make sense? Doesn't make sense. Because you have to be able to understand is you have your realization. Just like you have great sages that are on the transcendental platform, like the Kumaras. But before this, the pastime of bumping into Jaya and Vijaya, then they at that moment, they had never seen the Lord. So they have an appreciation of the Lord. And then so in that way, you could say they were devotees on one level. But they were only appreciating the Lord on the Brahman platform. But they've heard from their father about the Bhagavan platform, but they've never experienced it. Does that make sense? So at that point they experience, then they become realized, now they take up the devotional process. Now it's Shanta Rasa, rather than just Brahman. Does that make sense? So then, yeah, then it becomes good. So you have your position of how advanced you are, but then you have what connection you're making to the Lord. That's why anybody, if they chant, right, they remember Krishna, then you automatically transfer to the spiritual world. You understand? Now, having obtained the spiritual world, as we see Prabhupada discusses, that Gokula means now you'll be trained in devotional service. Now you have to get from that position of neutrality to prema. And so that's then what you'll do in the association, again, comes down to association, of the residents of the spiritual world. Then you'll learn how to serve them. Is that what's it? Yeah. Is that okay? Something else? Yes. Connection to this verse. You're saying that the other ones weren't connection to the verse? It's just an opening statement to, so that you feel more comfortable. Okay. The different types of chant. No, it's just like, let us say I invite you over for lunch. Do you have to worry about a plate? No, it comes automatically. So, what's your alternative then? That I don't have, so therefore I'll just go back to my material life, and what can I do? This is my destiny, or... That's the problem, is that you're looking at it, that becoming, that so sin and piety, according to Karmakanda, Jnanakanda, or Bhakti, which category does it go into? Sin and piety. Karma, okay. So now is Bhakti dependent upon karma? No. So Bhakti is not dependent on you being free from sin to take up the process. Because sin is connected to what? The soul or the conditioning? Right. So, does bhakti deal with the conditioning or bhakti deals with the soul? Right. So as soon as the soul does something in connection with bhakti, you get the effect of it. You understand? Now, the weakness is that we identify with the conditioning, therefore we continue to act according to it. It's just like this. Let us say I change something in your house, right? You've been living in the house for a long time and like that. So I change something in the house. So the first time you go to that area that's changed, though you know it's changed, what happens? Yeah, you act according to the way it was. Let's say I moved the door. right? We did that up at the door on the other side. You'll walk right up to it and go, hey, this is a wall. Now, how many times will you do that? Quite a few times. Why? If you're really thinking, you won't do it, but just in habit, you'll do it. So even though the soul, by chanting, is freed from sin, he still, by habit, acts according to his previous sinful desires. That's what we mean by getting rid of sin. Sin's already gone. What the problem is not the sin. The problem is your consciousness still thinks in a sinful way. That's why Prabhupada talks about the desire is the more important thing. So that's why if you do the atonement, you get rid of the sin, but the desire is still there. So only bhakti can get rid of the desire because you're changing it from it's for me to it's for Krishna. So it's the only actual process. The others mechanically work on the material platform since everybody's working on the position of conditioning. It'll work in the realm of conditioning, but it has zero effect on the soul. Only bhakti affects the soul. So that's the real. So getting rid of sin's not the main thing. It's that attraction to Krishna. Now to do that, you have to be aware of what things get in the way. Therefore, you have to be aware of what are the sinful proclivities. Yeah? Does that make sense? But it's not about anartha nivritti. That's it. That means in the mid-70s when this whole Shraddha Prema came up, right? Then a lot of devotees are talking about, you know, anartha nivritti and this and that. And then some of the more senior men, they pointed out it's not about anartha nivritti, it's about prema. It's a stage, a necessary stage in the process that one must be aware of. But it's not about becoming free from sin, it's about developing love for Krishna. Because otherwise, the four Kumaras were free from sin. But they didn't have that attachment to Krishna. Sukadev Goswami is free from sin. You understand? So the two go together, but you have to know which is the primary, which is secondary. So developing prema, that endeavor is the primary. The secondary is to make sure you don't do anything stupid. You know what I'm saying? Just like, what's more important? How well you cook or not dropping the pan on the floor with the preparation in it? You understand? So now if I focus on just not dropping the pan, I may not cook properly. But if I cook properly and drop it, that's a waste. So I have to be aware not to drop it, but my primary focus is on cooking nicely. Does that make sense? So that's balance. That is the middle path. You know what I'm saying? That's what probably broad-minded is, that you have to consider all the things. And you have to know within whatever is your situation, what's primary, what's secondary. We tend to just throw it all into one basket. You know, because of our, you know, background. Does that make sense? You know, because generally you see is Abrahamic backgrounds tend to have a bit more of a rough and ready, you know. The secondary is overly primary to the point of, you know, nastiness. While the Eastern religions, then they get distracted by the secondary, but at least it's generally more pious. The other half of the question, I see. Yes, but where does that come from? And that you get that whenever you buy a pack of Cracker Jacks, right? It's one of the prizes you get. From the chanting itself. Okay, now someone from, let's say, you go to Guru Vayur, right? And every evening, the deity goes out on an elephant for about 3 hours. And for 3 hours, they're chanting Hare Krishna. There's one kirtan that all they do is chant Hare Krishna. Every day. That's that one. They do this 5 times a day. The other ones are shorter. But, you know, so they probably get in 6 to 8 hours of Hare Krishna kirtan every day. Okay? But their followers are Shankara. Where is their chanting Hare Krishna going to take them? they're going to get liberation. Okay? Now, you'll also find that there are those in the Shri's and Madhva lines that chant Hare Krishna. Where are they going to go? They're going to go Vaikuntha. Okay, Gaudiyas are chanting Hare Krishna. Where are they going? Okay, what's making the difference? Same mantra, same words. It's a Vedic mantra, so it's not like it's a secret mantra or something. Okay, a yes. And now, how do you make this connection? Do you fill up a form on internet or something? You know, you went on Mukh Grunta and then signed up the signed on the form and everything, right? So then, how do you make that connection? Following the Acharya and then following the yes. So that means it's following the footsteps of the devotees. So if you associate with those devotees that have that, you'll get that. Does that make sense? Okay. So we'll end here. Grantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhakti Grindaki, Jainatai Gaur Premanandi.